This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV nationwide and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates. In a grand-sounding presidential proclamation on Sunday, Donald Trump rolled out the latest version of his travel ban, one that many have called a Muslim ban. From the very beginning of his tenure, there were legal challenges to Trump's ban on visitors from certain Muslim-majority countries. As the cases worked their way up to the Supreme Court, justices in mid-September decided to temporarily extend a ban on all refugees entering the U.S. Now, Trump's latest travel ban excludes countries he earlier included, Iraq and Sudan, and adds Chad, Venezuela, and North Korea to the list of pariah nations. On Monday morning, the Supreme Court unexpectedly decided to drop oral arguments scheduled for October 10th against the earlier versions of the ban. Now, a few weeks ago, we spoke with Serene Shibaya, senior staff attorney with Muslim Advocates, about the Supreme Court's position on the travel ban. She joins us back for a follow-up to that conversation. Thanks so much for coming back to the show, Serene.
Thank you for having me, Sonali.
So I admit I have been trying to keep track of all the intricacies and complexities of the different versions of the travel bans and the different legal challenges to them, what the Supreme Court and lower courts have said and what the Supreme Court just did. And I am very confused. So if you can disentangle for us what is the current policy, as far as you know, right now for visitors attempting to enter the country, what should they try to understand is legally happening?
Well, so that itself is not as simple an answer as you might think. This has been a very confusing landscape, obviously, with lots of changes happening. But what happened yesterday is that the second travel ban, the second executive order sort of provision banning travel from certain Muslim majority countries, was set to expire. And the Trump administration issued a proclamation that actually kind of kept in place essentially a ban against six Muslim majority countries, with some details depending on which country it is, and then added a couple of new countries to the list also. So for right now, everybody who was already banned under the second executive order, except for people from Sudan, still, you know, everything remains the same. They are still banned. And then for the new countries, which are Chad, North Korea, Venezuela, and then certain kind of other restrictions that have been put in place, those are set to go into effect on October 18th. And then to make this, like, you know, a little bit more complicated, for people who have what is called bona fide relationships in the United States, so like people who have a close family member or an offer letter from an institution or are coming to study at a university, even though they are from the countries that are banned by this new proclamation, they have until October 18th also before they are also going to be banned. So basically, the new proclamation takes away the bona fide exception starting on October 18th, adds Chad, which is a Muslim majority country, and North Korea, which sent about 9 immigrants to the United States last year, and Venezuela, but only banning certain government officials and their family members, and then leaves everything else the same.
And then Iraq is in a kind of a gray area, right?
So Iraq has been, since the second executive order, actually in this sort of like extra vetting, but not actually banned category. And Sudan appears to now be in that category also. Somalia appears to be in that category for everybody except for immigrants. So people coming on an immigrant visa, as opposed to people coming on visitor visas, like, you know, tourist visas or visitor visas. So Somalia now, it seems to be in this double situation. Like for immigrants, it's banned. And for non-immigrants, it's in this kind of special extra vetting category that Iraq has been in since the second executive order.
And then why Chad? Where did that come from?
I mean, so Section 2 of the second executive order authorized this worldwide review process that the administration ostensibly undertook, and then put together criteria like the way they secure identity, whether they report criminals, things of that nature. And then ostensibly based on those criteria, selected countries to add to the list. Unfortunately, the reasoning is not transparent at all because the report has not been released. We don't actually know the basis. And it also seems, the ban seems to cover countries that don't neatly, you know, fit within these categories. So, you know, I think it's very difficult to scrutinize what the reason for adding Chad might be, other than the fact that it's a Muslim majority country as well. You know, from our perspective, we still think this is a Muslim ban, and it's just another iteration of a Muslim ban. All of the countries that are significantly banned remain Muslim, either predominantly Muslim or Muslim majority countries. And
in countries like North Korea, just never had that many immigrants coming to the U.S. to begin with.
North Korea almost never sends immigrants to the United States. Like last year, there were 9 people who came from North Korea. And Venezuela is not actually banned. If you look at the text, the only people from Venezuela who are subject to the ban are certain government officials and their family members, which right. is, you know, of necessity going to be a really tiny group of people.
Now, the other difference, I understand there's a couple of them, there's many differences, but the other major differences is that this was issued via a presidential proclamation rather than an executive order. What's the difference between those two?
So a presidential proclamation is actually, you know, one of the possible reasons that this was issued by proclamation might be to sort of hew closely to the text of certain provisions of the Immigration and Nationality Act that says that the president can make certain changes by proclamation. You know, functionally, it doesn't actually change the impact on the communities, but the vehicle might be different for that reason. Again, we don't really know precisely why they're doing things the way they're doing, but another possibility could be that this proclamation is only intended to modify Section 2 of the second executive order, which was about the travel ban, and then leaves in place the rest of the executive order that was enacted in March.
So let's talk about what the Supreme Court did on Monday. The Supreme Court decided to drop its planned oral arguments on October 10th. The last time we had you on in mid-September, we'd been discussing that the Supreme Court had extended this ban on all refugees until the time when they were going to start taking up this case. Now the Supreme Court has decided to cancel those oral arguments. Are they, you think, sort of regrouping in light of this presidential proclamation to decide what their next step is?
I mean, one thing to remember is that even before this happened, the Supreme Court had asked for briefing on a question that neither of the parties had presented to it. And it had asked for briefing on whether the case would be moot by the time that oral arguments come around because of the fact that the travel ban was set to expire, you know, yesterday. The refugee ban is actually set to expire at the end of October also. So in some ways, it's not unexpected that they would ask for supplemental briefing. The Supreme Court, to be clear, has not said that it will not hear the case. It has just asked for supplemental briefing from the parties about whether this new development makes the case moot. So if it looks at the briefing and decides that it doesn't make the case moot, then the argument might go back up on the calendar for October 10th or might be rescheduled for some later time. But it remains to be seen what the Supreme Court will do.
Is there a end date to this to the countries and the categories of people singled out in this proclamation? Earlier versions of the ban, said 120 days or a certain number of days. What about this one?
Unfortunately, there is no end date.
For
this particular ban. So the ostensible reasoning is that when countries kind of make the changes that have been asked of them, they could somehow get off the list or there could be like another revisiting, but there's no clear end date. So it's actually indefinite at this point.
Is this particular ban going way further than previous bans? And if so, won't it face an even greater legal challenge than the previous bans?
I mean, so again, it's really hard to predict sort of what the courts will do in response to this ban. I mean, it will undoubtedly be challenged in court. In some ways, it's not actually more sweeping. It's only more sweeping in the sense that there's no end date, which is, of course, a huge deal, but not in terms of sort of the substance of what it's banning. Another way in which it's actually much broader is that it's going to get rid of the bona fide relationships exception that had been put in place since the Supreme Court issued the order saying that people with bona fide relationships can't be sort of targeted in that way. Whether or not it's actually more subject to challenge, I think is a difficult question. And I think it's a question that, you know, everybody is sort of trying to figure out the precise answer to right now. it's definitely going to be challenged in court. It definitely has extremely, extremely harsh provisions, like banning every person from Syria, banning everybody from Iran except for students and certain exchange scholars. You know, very harsh provisions about immigrants from Somalia, from Chad, from Libya. And in that respect, you know, to the extent that that it does that in an indefinite way, it's, of course, much harsher than the second executive order, which was doing it in only a temporary way. But in substance, it's still a Muslim ban. It's still kind of the same thing that was going on before, and it's still subject to the same legal challenges because of the fact that it's still motivated by anti-Muslim animus. And what we believe, it's still kind of the president's way of making good on his campaign promise to...
Right, which was basically what I was sort of implying is that, is this just political theater that Trump knows that it's likely not going to stand? And so he's just giving his base again the kind of the kind of thing that they're demanding. Or do, you know, will we end up, because we've got a Supreme Court stacked with conservatives, will we end up having Trump's dream come true and a nightmare for our Constitution? I guess it's hard to say.
It's hard to say. Things have been so unexpected in this landscape. What I can say for certain is that it will be challenged legally in court.
I guess, is the upside that now that he's made this presidential proclamation with no end date, the landscape isn't going to change rapidly as it has for the past 9 months, and the legal challenges can sort of proceed without everyone's time being wasted?
That's possible. I mean, of course, he can always rescind his own proclamation. So in some respects, one of the reasons this has been so chaotic is because the administration has not been consistent in what it's been putting out. It's been doing things, taking measures that, you know, national security experts, for example, by and large agree are not good for national security, like banning people from entire countries. This is all still true of this order. But yes, because there's no end date, in theory, it shouldn't, you know, legal challenges shouldn't be mooted out in the way that, you know, possibly the second challenge might have been. But I guess, as with everything else, it remains to be seen what the administration will do once the legal challenges start being filed.
Well, Serene, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Give out a website again for your organization, Muslim Advocates.
Yes, it's www.muslimadvocates.org.
We'll post a link to that from our site. Thanks so much, Serene.
Thank you for having me.
My guest is Serene Shibaya, senior staff attorney at Muslim Advocates. We've been discussing the latest version of Trump's Muslim ban. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.